Turning tonight in the Word of God to the book of 1 Corinthians, the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and the chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Amen. You know, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and a fallible truth to us tonight. Before we pray, I want to leave with you the verse number 3. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And with the Word of God open, let us seek him in prayer and ask for his help and his blessing as we consider his truth tonight. Let us pray. O eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee that once again we can turn to thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, that thy word speaks to us of the great need that there is for men and women to turn from their sin and to repent of it and to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, tonight we pray that now during the preaching of the Word of God, thou wilt close us in with thyself, cast out all distraction, and may we, by thy Spirit and by thy power, concentrate wholly upon thee and upon the message that thou dost have for us tonight. Father, we pray for the unsaved here in our midst. We pray that thou wouldst speak to them. May they realize that they are in grave danger, for if they die in their sin, they will be lost for all eternity. Speak to their souls tonight. May thy Spirit strive with them. And may they realize that they must come this evening to the cross of Christ and ask him for that forgiveness of sins that the Savior alone can give. Lord, speak to the backslider as well. And this is a passage about the great resurrection. The great resurrection of the Savior and the resurrection of the saints. And there is great joy to be found here. But Father, there may be those who no longer have that joy of their salvation that they once had. May they tonight realize this and by thy Spirit return unto the Lord. We thank thee that thou art gracious unto thy people. We pray tonight that thou wilt come and move in grace and love and mercy, and bring sinners unto thyself. Bless thy people as well. May we rejoice in hearing the gospel preached once again. May we rejoice that there is a pulpit here open for the preaching of the word of God. And Father, may we always consider this a great privilege and a great honor even in this place. May we not treat it lightly, but may we rejoice that there is a pulpit here from which the word of God can be faithfully preached. Father, bless us now. Help us. Give us strength. We ask in our Saviour's great name. Amen. Amen. The whole theme of this chapter 15 of the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians is the resurrection. The resurrection is a vital doctrine of Christianity. Our faith itself is based upon the resurrection of Christ. We read in the verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." The resurrection of Christ points to and is a precursor of the glorious resurrection that there will be at the last day of his redeemed and blood-bought people. We have the victory over death and the curse through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary but was risen again for our salvation. The Apostle Paul in this chapter is writing to a church that was found at Corinth. And in commencing his inspired exposition of this doctrine or this teaching of the resurrection, he brings them back to the gospel that he preached unto them when he was with them. He leaves before them the person that makes their resurrection possible, the person that makes our resurrection possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this church there were many divisions that had grieved the apostle and had caused great trouble with the people. These issues affected their belief and their presentation of the gospel of Christ. And Paul gave a stirring defense of preaching in the first chapter of this epistle. But he goes on then in this chapter, the chapter 15, and he states an historic fact that Christ died. That Christ died. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on Calvary. And that is a fact that is true. That is a fact that is backed up by history. But there is also a religious doctrine found here. And that is that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. For the death of the Son of God, the death of Jesus Christ, was not an ordinary death. It was not the normal death that a man suffers. But it was a death that involved the atonement or the covering of our sin, a death that cleanses us, the people of God, for all eternity. In verse 3, we plainly see that this was the message that Paul preached. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." It was not a message that originated with him. Paul did not preach his own gospel. Paul did not preach his own thoughts and his own theories. But he preached the message that God had given unto him. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. And we'll consider a verse here. Paul preached the message that God had given unto him. We see that here in Galatians 1, in the verse 11 and the verse 12. "But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that we preach here tonight is not a gospel of man. It is not the teachings of men. But it is a gospel that has its origin with the Lord. It is a gospel that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gospel that is revealed to us in the Word of God. And it is a gospel that is divine and not of human origin. Your need for repentance, your need of a Savior, your great sin is found in the Word of God. It is not an invention of man, but it is found in God's Word. And that is something that we must consider, that the gospel does not have its origin with man, but it has its origin with the Lord who created all things by the word of his power. Paul received this gospel and he preached this gospel. There is one gospel and he sought to present it. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5 he said, "For we preach not ourselves." For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord. May we continue And may this church continue to preach Christ Jesus the Lord, because he is the only way of salvation. But I want to consider just briefly tonight this great truth found in the verse 3, that Christ died for our sins. That Christ died for our sins. Firstly, I want you to consider the scriptural certainty. The scriptural certainty that there is found here. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. The death of Christ fulfilled the scriptures. And the word of God that is in view here are the Old Testament scriptures. For when Paul wrote this letter, the New Testament had not been completed. And it had not been compiled. And Paul is referring to the Old Testament. He says that Christ died for our sins according to what we find in the Old Testament. For in the Old Testament, God revealed to us our sin and our great need of a Saviour. There are many types and figures in the Old Testament that point to Christ. In the time of Moses, the book of Exodus, and going into Leviticus, we read of the tabernacle. We read of the offerings that the children of Israel made. And these offerings in the tabernacle point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a type of Christ. He fulfilled the type. He is the great anti-type, as it were, the one who fulfills the type, the one who was spoken of through all these things. In Genesis 3, verse 15, we read of the first promise of a Messiah. Adam and Eve had just sinned against the Lord, and their reading of the forbidden fruit was great sin against God. Many today perhaps mock and laugh and make scorn of the fact that we are all sinners because Adam and Eve ate of a fruit. They ate a fruit. But it was not just an ordinary fruit. It was a fruit that was forbidden by God. So by eating that fruit, they sinned against God. They sinned against the God of heaven. They broke his law. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. They sinned against the Lord, and they faced punishment for that sin. And Adam's sin passed upon us all, for we all are sinners. But the great promise is given to Adam, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And contained in that verse is the great promise that there was going to be a Messiah. There was somebody going to come that would bruise the head of the serpent. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And time again in the Old Testament, we see the great promises, we can read the great promises that were given by God to of a Messiah. And here in Eden, a great beam of light shines forth from the darkness and the depravity of the sin that took place there. This promise was revealed to Israel. We turn to Psalm 22. It's a psalm that speaks of the Messiah and of his death upon the cross of Calvary. Psalm 22, the verse 1, contains the great cry that the Son of God made upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he endured the wrath of God that was due to his people for their sin. He was forsaken by God instead of us. He suffered instead of us. He died that death that was due to us for our sin. And he bore our sin on his shoulders. He was made sin for us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And in the verse 12, many balls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. And this whole psalm speaks of the suffering of the Messiah, the suffering of Christ when he died for our sins upon Calvary. It is revealed to us in the Old Testament. And then in Isaiah 53, great passage of scripture that points to the Messiah's sufferings again. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What a passage Isaiah 53 is. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Saviour was made an offering for sin, and he died for the sins of his people. What love, what mercy was shown by God whenever Christ went to that cruel cross and died upon it for us. In Matthew 1:21, we read of the great command to the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. His very name, Jesus, signified the salvation that he would bring to his people. His death was a scriptural certainty. And then secondly, it was a spiritual necessity. The death of Christ was a spiritual necessity. It had to take place. It was essential and necessary that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. We ourselves could never atone for our sin. We ourselves, being sinners before God, could never do anything that would bring us near to God. For we were far from him because of our sin. In 1 Timothy 2 and the verse 5, we read the words, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the only one that can bridge the great gulf that there is between God and the sinner. It is by his blood that we are brought nigh unto God. We are unworthy creatures. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3. Here in this passage of scripture, the vileness of sin is set forth. The universal nature of sin is set forth in that all are sinners. All are sinners. There's not one person here in this meeting tonight that is not a sinner. We are all sinners. We read in the verse 10, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And in the verse 23, the great text, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, means that we have missed the mark. God has a standard of holiness. God has a standard that we ought to meet. But we have fallen short, we have missed it. For example, an archer, whenever he wants to shoot his arrow at a target, he will shoot and he will aim for that target, but if he falls short, he has fallen short. He has missed the mark. And so it is with us. We have missed the mark. We have fallen short of God's standard revealed in the Ten Commandments. We have sinned against him, and we've fallen short of his standard. We are sinners. We are sinners before the Lord. Then in Ephesians 2, we read that, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We could not save ourselves. All our good works could not save us. Whether that's our church attendance, whether that's the giving up of our tithe, whether that is our good works for charity, whether that is our good works within the family unit, whatever it is, our good works, commendable though they are, cannot save your soul. They cannot save a man from hell. It is only by the Lord. And then we read again in the verse 12. It says that these Ephesian believers, when they were without Christ, they had no hope. And they were without God in the world. They were without God in the world. They had no hope outside of Christ. They were without God and they were facing a lost eternity. But it is through Christ dying on the cross that we can have that peace with God. And with his stripes, we are healed. The bruises and the wounds and the sufferings of Christ on Calvary heal us from the disease of sin. And the source of our healing is the Lord Jesus Christ. This healing puts us in mind of a disease that is incurable by man. For man cannot heal himself of sin. Like Naaman the leper could not heal himself of his leprosy. We cannot heal ourselves of sin. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a death he died on Calvary for us. What a death he died in our stead and in our place. I was reading Andrew Gray. He was a young Scottish preacher back in the 1600s. He died at the age 22. This is what he said. The young preacher, his ministry only lasted a couple of years at the very, very most. And he said, oh, what a sight it was to see those blessed hands that never wrought iniquity to be pierced through. And his precious feet, the sound whereof was never heard in the paths of unrighteousness to be thrust through. And that blessed side of his pierced through with a lance. Oh, what a sight it was to see the infinite and eternal Son of God so handled for our cause. Christians stand astonished at this. Christians stand astonished at this. Christ died for us. He died for our sin. He suffered greatly for us. Oh, what a wonder it was that Christ would go to the cross and die for sinners, rebels to God, such as we. There was a great necessity for Christ to go to the cross. But there is a sacrificial efficacy in the cross. By that we mean that the work of Christ on Calvary, his dying for our sins, is effective. It is effective. Why? Because he did indeed die for our sins. He paid the debt that we could never pay ourselves. And we can have salvation through him. The salvation offered to us by the Son of God is complete. And it is finished. On the cross, the Savior cried out, it is finished. It is finished. And what that signifies is that it means a complete, it means a concluded, it means an accomplished salvation. It means to make an end of something. It means to perform an act that is completed or to pay a debt. And all these meanings signify and show forth the work that Christ completed on the cross for us. It was finished. Men today think that they can take away from the work of Christ. They think that they can add to the work of Christ. They think that Christ's death on Calvary is not enough to save our souls. They add their human rituals to it. They add the human traditions, whatever they may be. But it is the work of Christ alone that can save. It is the work of Christ alone that can save. In Acts chapter 4, in the verse 12, we have the message of Peter, the preaching of Peter. And he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other can save. No other has paid the debt that Christ has paid. His death is a completed act. It is a completed act. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. The death of Christ was a one-off event. His death once paid the sins of many, many, many of his people, all of his people, paid the debt of many, many sinners. And he suffered for us. For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died. Can you sing that tonight? For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died. And I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bonds are all untied. And now thou livest in me. And now thou livest in me. Does Christ live in you? Do you testify to the fact that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures? Are you found far from him? His salvation is effective, for we shall never perish. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you come to Christ tonight, your salvation is secure. No man can alter it. No man can change it. Child of God, what a great thought it is that our salvation is secured in Christ. We are safe in him. And we shall never perish. It is a wonderful thing to know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There is great comfort for the child of God. Why? Knowing and having that assurance that he died for our sins. When we stand before the judgment throne of God on that great day, we know that we are saved. We know that Christ has paid it all. And we know that we have an inheritance with him for all eternity. What a salvation it is. What a salvation it is. Our passage continues. 1 Corinthians 15. And it continues. And it shows forth the importance of the resurrection of Christ. And it shows the importance of Christ's resurrection and the significance of it in comparison to our own resurrection. We can have an assurance that we will rise from the dead to be with Christ, because Christ has already risen from the dead. Then at the end of this chapter, it speaks to us of the end of this world. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, verse 51. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And then it says in verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, the Saviour died for your sins. And this resurrection described here is what you will experience. Your corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. We will live forevermore and we will be with him. With him who died for us. We will have great victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be assured of it because he rose from the dead. But sinner, tonight, what about you? Do you have that great assurance that Christ died for you? Do you have that great assurance that one day you will leave this world? You will leave this world and you will enter into the glory and splendor of heaven. With Christ it will be far better. You will be with Christ for all eternity. Do you have that assurance? Maybe you've come into this place, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and as yet, you have not trusted in Christ. Being here in this meeting tonight is a great privilege. For you hear the wonderful words of life. You hear the gospel message. Being here on other occasions in the past is a great privilege. For you've heard your need of a Savior. You've heard that your sin will take you to hell and that you must cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust on him. While there is a great privilege, there is a solemn responsibility to get right with Christ, to get right with God and to repent of your sin, to turn from it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to Christ tonight. Believe that he has died for sin. And then, in that last day, you will have that great resurrection experience, and you will have that great victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. May the Lord bless his word to us tonight. Let us pray. Father and our God, we thank thee for thy truth this evening. We thank thee that it is the gospel that we preach. We pray for those in the service who are unsaved. We leave them before thee, and we plead that thou wilt speak to their souls. May they realize that they need to repent of their sin and come to Christ. Father, we ask that thou wilt strive with them. Strive with them this evening. Strive with them throughout this week. May they have no rest of soul. May they have no peace of mind till they turn to thee. Father, we pray that thou will answer our prayers this night. May all of us here in this gathering be found in heaven on that great day. And we plead that no soul here would be lost. What a tragedy it would be if some soul tonight would be found out of Christ without a Saviour and bound for that great place of the wrath of God for all eternity. Father, answer our prayers. We pray now that thou wilt part us with thy blessing. Bless those who remain for supper. Give us all a safe journey home. We pray that even thou wilt remain with us this week. Bless us. Continue with us. Now and forevermore. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.